This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Coming up in 20 minutes, Mark Maskey from the Washington Post will join us. He's headed to the league meetings in Minneapolis where the tush push is likely to get voted on, as will seeding changes to the NFL playoff format. But joining us right now is Mark Zuckerman. Zuck, of course, covers the Nats for Masson Sports at massonsports.com. You can follow Mark on X and on Twitter at Mark Zuckerman. So the Nats swept the Orioles. I just want to start with this. What happened to the Orioles this year? It's obviously a pitching issue, but they were supposed to be, you know, a playoff contending team in the American League East. They currently have, I think, the third or fourth worst record in all of baseball.
Yeah, well, it was a pitching issue this weekend, but I think it's an everything issue as far as the season goes. I mean, you name it, it's gone wrong for them. And, you know, I'm not around them every day, but what I've gathered, and certainly from being there this week and talking to a lot of people around that team, there was this sense that, okay, they've done such a great job of building an organization from within, some great draft picks, had the two outstanding seasons, made the playoffs, and then didn't do anything when they got to October. And it was time to take that next step. And what happened is they just sort of relied on all those young players to be able to do that on their own and didn't bring in the right kind of veterans to supplement them. And guys who've been through this before, I guess there's been a real lack of like leadership in the clubhouse. You put that all together and they get off to this terrible start and the axe has to fall on somebody and it goes on Brandon Hyde. But I think most people around there seem to agree that the managerial change alone isn't going to fix this. This is a larger issue than that. And, you know, I know we know around here you can still win a World Series after a terrible 2 months to start the year, but they're teetering at the point now where it's almost going to be impossible for them to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so early in a season, but still, I mean, you look at the standings and you look at the way they're getting beat, and it's like, yeah, I know it's only 45 games in, and they're still going to go ahead and play the other, you know, 120, you know, 118 or 117. But man, it seems like a long and very tall hill to climb. So on the flip side are the Nats, who were really struggling coming into this series. They had gotten absolutely annihilated by Cleveland, by St. Louis, by Atlanta. You know, they won that one game against Atlanta. And they exploded for 20 runs on 24 hits in the final two games. When they, you know, what we saw in two games, I understand part of it is the opponent, but is their capability this year, Mark, offensively greater than it was last year?
Oh, absolutely. And the biggest thing to look at is home runs.
Yes.
You know, they ranked almost last in the league or last in the league in home runs the last couple of seasons. They're right in the middle of the pack this year. You know, more home runs than games played. And that's a huge difference because even if you have other offensive deficiencies, and you know, they still have their faults, particularly the depth of the lineup. You know, when you look at the bottom half of their lineup on a daily basis,
terrible.
It's really not what you would expect it to be. Yeah.
7, 8, 9 has really struggled.
Yeah, but what you do have on the top half are guys who can change the game with one swing of the bat. And when you can hit for power, you can make up for a lot of other deficiencies. I think we're seeing that right now. Now, the issue has been consistency, not being able to do it night in and night out. It feels like when they get to a starting pitcher early, they put up huge numbers. And when they don't, they just sit there for 6-7 innings. You know, they went through a stretch where it was 8 straight games. They did not score more than 2 runs off any opposing starter. Now, sometimes they're better against the bullpen, and they've been able to come back and win some games late. But that's not a real formula for success. You got to be able to do it earlier in games against opposing starters. Well, they finally did it this weekend. Can they do it again? I guess we'll find out over the next week or so. It's a much tougher challenge with the Braves coming here now, the next 3 days.
They got 2 guys that are having pretty good seasons right now. To name a few, and I'm talking about offensively, but right now, Wood and C.J. Abrams, I mean, they're all-star possibilities, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Maybe even all-star, you know, I'm not going to say locks, but moving in that direction for sure. As of the other day, I think James fell out of the top 10, but there was a point that a couple days ago where Abrams and Wood were 9th and 10th in the National League in OPS. So when you got 2 guys at the top of the lineup that can do it all, and it's not just hitting for power, it's hitting for average, it's getting on base, it's running the base as well once they get on there, that is a truly dynamic duo. And, you know, James Wood, I think we all kind of had a sense that this could be the breakout year, and certainly he's done it. His raw power, his ability to hit the ball up to the opposite field in a way that maybe only Juan Soto does among players we've seen around here over the years is tremendous. But I think what C.J. Abrams is doing should not be overlooked at all. He was great last year in the first half, made the All-Star team, had an awful second half on the field, and then at the end of the season gets sent down to the minors, not for performance, but because of the whole issue of being caught late out at night at the casino in Chicago.
Right.
So there's a spotlight on him coming into this season. And he has done everything you could ask of him to do on and off the field and is now playing at an all-star level again. That is huge because I think that was a legit question mark and uncertainty coming into the year. He has brushed that all off and is playing like a true superstar right now.
Tell me about James Wood's, like, big-time, you know, upside possibility. Is he a potential top 5 offensive superstar in this league?
Yeah, I think so. Because he combines patience at the plate, he'll draw his walks, with an ability to hit the ball as hard as anybody, and specifically to hit it to the opposite field in a way, like I said, you know, that Juan Soto does and very few others do. All but a handful of his homers have been hit to left field, left center field. And that's not a detriment at all. It's his natural swing to do that. And he still hits it as hard as anybody does. And so once he now starts to get into the habit of, okay, if he gets a pitch on the inner part of the plate and can turn on it and starts hitting some out to right field, which we've seen a couple of them, that's the complete package now, once you can do that. So he's already mastered kind of the harder part of it, being able to hit the ball the other way with some authority. He's still only 22 years old and hasn't even been in the big leagues for a full year yet. So the sky's the limit with him. And as I said, he also runs the bases really well. He takes his walks. He's maybe their most patient hitter they have. Defensively, there's still some work for him to do in the outfield. He hasn't always looked comfortable in left field. But, you know, we're picking nits here. I mean, what he's showing at age 22 is really special, and it shows you why, of all the prospects they got in the Soto trade, and they all had their upside, he was the one. I remember at the time, the saying was, hey, this is the guy who has every part of the game who could be a Soto-type player eventually.
Let's just, you know, project here. I mean, he is kind of on pace for certainly a 30-plus home run season, if not a 35-plus home run season, and 100 RBIs. Do you think he gets there?
Yeah, I think so if he stays healthy. And, you know, the RBIs, sometimes that's also a product of who's on base in front of you.
Sure.
So if Abrams can keep doing it in front of him, that'll make a difference. And it brings an interesting point. CJ went on the IL for about 10 days with a hip injury last month, and Wood started hitting leadoff and was really good at it. And there was this question at the time of, should he actually be your number one hitter and get him up there and he can do it all, you know, right off the bat? And the thought was, yeah, he could do it. But if CJ Abrams is doing his job and gets on base in front of him, wouldn't you rather have a shot at a two-run homer than a solo homer from James Wood? And I think the answer is yes, and Abrams has done his part. So if Wood can keep coming up with guys on base, then you're talking about 100-plus RBI, you know, in addition to all the home runs and everything else. And, you know, I'll throw 30 steals into that as well. He could very easily be a 30-30 player this year and with the potential, you know, over the years to maybe even be a 40-40 player.
Yeah, currently his home run pace is actually to hit 40.5 if, you know, he plays all 162, which he probably will not, and there the pace may slow down a little bit. Dylan Cruz, tough start to the season, better certainly after that first few weeks. Tell me about his development.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
It's been a little slower than I think most would have hoped. Yeah, and when he's good, he's really good. And he crushed a ball yesterday, a three-run homer that had to be a shot of confidence for him. He still is swinging at a lot of breaking balls out of the zone. He doesn't get a lot to hit because pitchers sort of know the playbook now that you can get him to chase with breaking balls down and down and away. And until he proves that he can lay off all those pitches, they're going to continue to do that. So I think he's probably feeling the weight of some pressure of all this. I don't know that he's ever in his baseball life struggled to this extent. He's always been the guy everywhere that he's been. He's always hit at the top of a lineup, and now he's batting seventh or eighth. I think yesterday he even hit ninth.
Ninth
for
yesterday.
Them. So there's work to be done. But I think the most encouraging thing would be this. In spite of the offensive struggles and the inconsistency there, he has played an outstanding outfield, whether in right or in center, and he's been one of maybe their best base runners as well. And what that tells you is a couple of things. One, that he is a very well-rounded player, and he's not just a hitter. But two, he's mature enough to separate those parts of his game. And when he struggles at the plate, he's not taking it with him into the field. And that's an important thing for a player at any level, let alone one as young and inexperienced as he is. So if he can figure out the offensive part, and it may take a little more work than anybody thought it would, but if he can figure that out, he's already got the other things there. He's a smart kid. He works tremendously hard. He understands the game, has great instincts. He's still contributing to them in important ways, even if he's not hitting the way they hoped he would.
We have focused on much of the positive. Now let's flip the script here with Mark Zuckerman. Starting pitching, you know, early in the season seemed promising. Not so much since that point. What's happened?
Well, maybe coming back to earth a little bit. Mackenzie Gore, on his best days, can look like the best pitcher in baseball, and then at times, it falls off. But what he's done, last year when it would go south on him, it could get ugly. And what he's done, and I think it's an important step for him, is that the nights that he doesn't really have it, he's still finding a way to limit the damage. And so it may not be those dominant, seven innings, 13 strikeout games, but he's holding them to 2-3 runs. So that's been an important step up for him. Jake Irvin has dealt with some velocity being diminished somewhat, which is a concern, except by all accounts, it's not injury related. It seems to be mechanics. But he went through a stretch there where in three starts, he only had three total strikeouts, which is pretty odd, even for a guy who doesn't strike out a lot of batters to begin with. So there's that. Trevor Williams, I think we kind of had a hunch that what he did last year might have been a bit of a mirage, and maybe he's not actually as good as that, so that was a concern somewhat. Michael Soroka missed time with an injury. I think he's looked pretty good since coming back. The numbers don't always match up with that because he's struggled at the end of his outings by the time he gets to the fifth and the sixth inning, and it happened to him yesterday. So I think they knew this isn't a great rotation. The idea with these guys is just give us a chance. Give us five, six innings, give up three or fewer runs, and then we're going to try to win the game late. Outside of Gore, that's what most of those guys are. Gore has the ability to be an ace, and I think he may be an all-star this year if he keeps this going because he does lead the league in strikeouts. But they haven't been quite what you would hope they could be, but I think they knew going in that wasn't supposed to be the strength of the team, to be honest.
So, lots of complaining, and I think justifiably so, on what they didn't do and where they didn't spend and where they seemed to be disinterested in spending. The learners, if you kind of want to describe this as an influx, are they going to sell, aren't they going to sell situation? But if I told you that they did spend in the offseason, was there a chance, looking through the first 45 games, to spend to add a key offensive player, a key player from another area that would have made a big difference in their record?
I think the two things they could have done, and this would not have had to have been, over the top spending hundreds of millions of dollars, but just a bit more to make a difference. One more proven bat in the middle of the lineup, I think, would have made a difference. Their DH, Josh Bell, everybody loves him. He's a great guy, great teammate. He's on the tail end now. He's not the hitter he was a few years ago when he was here the first time. They spent $6 million on him. That was a fairly cheap signing. They could have gotten a more proven DH that would help lengthen that lineup and take some pressure off the young guys that they're counting on so much. So I think that would have been one. And the other one is in the bullpen. And again, you don't have to go and spend tens of millions of dollars on relievers. It's such a fickle position that you don't really know what you're going to get from year to year. But they went out, the moves they did make, Lucas Sims already gone. They spent $3 million on him. It was a waste. Colin Poche on a minor league deal and got $1.4 million. He's already gone. That was a waste. Jorge Lopez, $3 million. He's still there. He's got an ERA in the sevens despite a 6-0 record somehow as a reliever. So just going out and getting some more established, a little more of a sure thing kind of relievers, and not a closer. Finnegan's been fine. He's not the problem. Right. The guy's getting the ball to him, going out and getting another lefty to account for the lack of when they traded Robert Garcia. A trade that's worked out because Nathaniel Lowe's been good, but they could have done that without breaking the bank, and I think it would have made a difference. I would still say at this point, they reasonably could and should have at least a 500 record right now, if not for the bullpen. And it's not that hard to fix a bullpen to, you can build a good bullpen without spending a whole lot of money.
Talking to Mark Zuckerman at Mark Zuckerman on X on Twitter. Listen to his Nats Chat podcast with our good buddy Al Galdi and read everything that Mark writes at massandsports.com. So just real quickly, looking, you know, we're not at the halfway mark there, but we'll be there in a couple of weeks. Is there a dominant team in baseball right now where you say you'd be surprised if that team's not at least playing for an American League or a National League pennant?
You know, the National League, and I think this has kind of been underrated, has like five or six powerhouse teams, it feels like.
Yeah.
The NL West
especially
alone,
in the NL West.
Yeah, has been dominant. This isn't just like, hey, but it's the Dodgers and everybody else. No, the Padres, the Giants, the Diamondbacks, they are all really good, and that's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out over the whole season. The Mets, of course, with all that they did in the offseason, they have been what they're supposed to be, and that's a powerhouse. The Phillies are right up there with them, even though they have had their issues, including now one of their top relievers, Jose Alvarado, being suspended for 80 games for steroids. The Braves got off to a terrible start, but are starting to look more like themselves. And the Cubs have been kind of reinvigorated this year. That's a bunch of teams that are going to duke it out. And yeah, you can go into the playoffs and say, hey, the Dodgers are still, you know, the behemoths. But as you know, in a short 5-game or 7-game series, anything can happen. And there are enough teams that can challenge them that could be wide open in the National League. On the American League side, it's not been what I think a lot of people thought it would be. The East, not as good, in part because of the Orioles' struggles. The Central is actually better than most teams would have thought. So there's more of a disparity now. It feels like the National League is tilted in their direction. And so, no, I don't think at this point there is that one obvious team. Yes, the Dodgers are going to be around come October, but there are many more teams that can challenge them right now than I think there were a year or two ago.
You know, I read every once in a while on social media that Mets fans are frustrated with Soto. He's not having a terrible season. What kind of season has he had?
Oh, he's been fine. And that's, you know, but this is what happens when you sign a $700 million
sure.
contract, is that all of a sudden everything's under the microscope and you're expecting the greatest player in the world. I have never had any doubt that Juan Soto is going to be fine. And the good thing there is, he can handle New York. We saw that with the Yankees. So the pressure of that is not going to bother him. That's more to do with Mets fans and just New York in general, and less to do with Soto. Now, he maybe has, you know, he's not playing with Judge anymore, although Pete Alonso's been really good. So maybe there's that. But, I mean, that team is in very good shape, and I wouldn't worry too much about how Juan Soto's going to end up there in Queens.
Thanks for doing this, as always. Hope you're well. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Mark Zuckerman, everybody. Mark Maskey, heading to the NFL league meetings. Will the tush-push get banned, and will there be a different playoff format in the NFL soon? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.